Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Westlife there, as if I needed to tell you when you're looking like that. Of all the days, Katie, for me to come into work without a band t-shirt. The day we're discussing boy bands, you know, from the Nolan Sisters to Westlife. We have people in text going back earlier than this. We have a strong tradition in this country of girl bands and boy bands. Maxi, Dick and Twink.
Indeed.
There's another couple of them. They'll come to mind, are the Cadets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, why have they fallen out of favour in this part of the world? We're joined in studio by broadcaster Afric O'Connell. Afric, good evening.
Good evening, lads. How are you?
Let's go back to the glory days of Phil Spector and others. The Supremes, the yes. Beatles, Boyzone, these acts put together, songs given to them. Beatles, not fair. They wrote their own songs.
They did.
But what decade do you think was, in terms of what we're talking about yeah. now, boy and girl bands, and why did they dominate that period for so long?
Well, for me, you started with my absolute favourite when you're looking like that, Westlife. I don't know how you knew, but the glory days for me anyway, and I think the time of world domination for girl and boy bands was the 90s to the early 2000s. It was just, there was no escaping it, no matter what. You'd take that, you had Boyzone, you had Westlife, you had Girls Aloud,
Spice Girls,
Spice Girls, everything. It was just, they were really the glory days.
I don't think the Chippendales are getting enough credit here.
Have they not had enough credit, surely, at this stage? But you had all these people, and you had the American ones as well, like the Backstreet Boys, and you had NSYNC and stuff.
E17,
exactly. And it's we're allowed to play a bit of
New Kids on
Christmas
the Block
music. Exactly, all of this kind of thing. So the 90s and 2000s were absolutely the glory days for girl and boy bands. And the reason really, or certainly one of the reasons, was kind of the labels decided what you would like. So you had all these, you know, huge music labels. You also had, backed up by that, you had a massive teen magazine, you know,
culture,
industry. Yeah. Yeah, culture, exactly, where all of your favourites were on the cover of Smash Hits, or they were on the cover, they were on TRL, they were on MTV, they were all of this kind of stuff. You also bought CD singles, you know, there was huge, you know, to get to number one was a real achievement then. And also, you had shows like X Factor and Pop Stars and all this kind of, which would manufacture groups in front of your eyes and for people to kind of enjoy.
Okay, let's have the big girl band of that era, the 90s act that took over the airwaves and put girl power, as they yes. called it themselves, on the agenda. Spice Girls.
Yeah.
So what was the magic there?
I still remember where I was when I heard that song on the radio for the first time, because that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun at the start, I was like, sorry, what is this? It was in my granny's kitchen, and it was, they were just magic, the Spice Girls. They really were. They kind of had this, you had really strong personalities in that group, and they were kind of put together, but in a way that everybody could find a little bit of themselves in one of the members, if you know what I mean. Every member had a really strong identity.
It was a genius. There was a
Wasn't
brilliant
it?
Documentary about girl
yes.
bands on the BBC. There,
yes.
a two-part documentary, and It was really fascinating. They were actually put together
yes.
by, whose name is now going to escape me, but they then left him.
Exactly.
The original genius behind that exactly. idea never actually got to cash in on it.
But the kind of, the genius behind having someone like Baby Spice, you had Scary Spice, Sporty Spice, Posh Spice.
Yeah. My wife still calls one of our daughters Sporty Spice. I don't know if she quite gets the reference, but she plays loads of sports.
That's
and
it.
She calls her, you're a real Sporty Spice.
And isn't it so funny? Because it's like, say a girl who was sporty in, you know, up around the time of the Spice Girls, could find herself in the Spice Girls. So could the girly one, and so could the one who's a bit loud and a bit, you know, a bit bulshy or whatever. You could find your own personality.
You too could be Scary Spice.
You absolutely.
We're getting a lot of texts in. Yeah. Here's one. Bross, 1989, totally in love with Craig.
Yes.
Complete smash hits that you mentioned there, the watches on their shoes,
the
turn-ups,
that's
the socks.
The other thing as well is there's an element of you fancied one of them or someone fancied someone.
Well, this one predates actually this era we're talking about, but I was the Bay City Rollers' number one fan. I loved the lead singer Les in the band. That's from Geraldine.
That's a brilliant
remember
one.
Remember that? B-A-Y, B-A-Y.
Yes, that's
so,
a brilliant one.
So we're being asked for our verdicts on things. Would we consider the Monkees a boy band? Absolutely.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I would. It kind of one of the because they were kind of manufactured, I suppose, in a way. And I think that is... It's not always a pejorative. If you're manufactured as a boy band or a girl band, doesn't necessarily mean that you're any less worthy. Do you know what I mean? It's just kind of someone spotted something, some genius somewhere has spotted something in you. But also you have these massive touring machines as well. Like we were talking about Spice Girls there a couple of minutes ago. They had a movie. Like they went completely global. And, you know, you have these different personalities in all these bands that someone can relate to, and you can find, you know, you can find your thing in these bands.
Of course, Katie, in the peak of this era, the soap opera element of all their lives is what got gossip columnists interested. You know what's coming here, don't you? In your previous life as a gossip columnist, Katie Hannon, this is like
I'm dying for this
Like the owl one from Golden Girls. Picture it, 1990. That sounds more like Columbo than the owl one from Golden
Lily's
Girls.
Lily's Bordello in 1993. Yes, I was. I had a secret past life as a social diarist, as we like to call ourselves at the time. And and as a social diarist in Dublin in the early 90s, you had to know Louis Walsh because he knew everything that moved in town.
Yes.
And he was a very good source of information if you wanted to fill two pages of the Evening Herald every day, as I had to do. And during this period, we were out one night and Louis said, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, you know, Take That is the biggest thing.
Of course.
We need an Irish Take That.
Yeah.
And myself, Fiona Looney was at the social diarist in the Evening, or the Sunday World at the time was there as well. And we had this conversation with Louis, and it turned out he had a couple of young lads he'd been talking to about this. And before we knew it, I was sitting in at the auditions for Boyzone. And this line of young lads were traipsing in singing
up in the pod, wasn't
Careless
it?
Whisper. I think it was in the pod, actually.
Careless Whisper. Wow.
And that was it. We started writing about them. These lads were being taken all over the country, up in the back of buses and the back
Sorry,
of...
you were at the ground floor of Boyzone.
The birth. I the prefer birth. The birth.
Midwife. Herself and Fiona Roofy with the midwife. Push, Mr. Walsh. Push.
And the next thing we knew, there was like screaming 13-year-old girls crying at all these appearances by these guys.
Wait, were you
like
one of them,
Afrik?
It was ever so slightly too early for me to be one of the screaming girls.
So One Direction, or is that
they were slightly
too late.
Too late.
Okay, all right. Well, we got Westlife.
Westlife was perfect.
Okay, but give us One Direction. Give us your thoughts.
One Direction was wild because in the 2006 and 2010 to the later 2000s, say, the power really shifted from the labels and the magazines to streaming. And that changed people's tastes completely. Things like Top of the Pops came off air, so you weren't necessarily getting the same exposure to these bands as you would have before, and people were finding other ways to get into music and find individual artists. One Direction in 2010 was nearly an anomaly, because it was certainly at the tail end of the X Factor craze and the pop stars craze. They were the exception that kind of proved the rule. They became one of the biggest boy bands of all time, and still, if they were to ever reunite or whatever, so they still bookend sell the year.
Let's have a clip of them, because we do want to talk to you about what's booking the new exception, yes, that proves the rule. Let's,
yes,
hear One
absolutely.
Direction first. We'll come back with K-pop after this.
What a tune.
You can't help but...
You can't.
Bop along to that. Now, I know, because now with girls,
yeah,
young girls,
yeah,
all love young girls. It's all the Olivia Rodrigo,
completely,
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, completely.
Tay-Tay.
Exactly.
The bands, the only bands you hear about now,
yeah,
are the K-pop.
That is a fact. And it is... While that model, like that manufactured model, has almost completely disappeared in, say, the global West, in the global East, it is thriving. Like some of these bands, some of the biggest bands in the world, say, for instance, Blackpink, BTS, you have Girls' Generation, they have a band called NCT, in case you were
nothing to do with the car.
Nothing to do with the cars, but an extremely successful K-pop group. South Korea still operates on that old system. Like they're called idols in South Korea, K-pop idols. They go through intense training. Everybody in the band has a very strict personality. There is a huge fan culture, which they've kind of booked the trend of people finding individual artists online, where they will use social media really cleverly to gather this army of fans. And it shows really that the formula can still work. Everything is cyclical. We're not getting boy bands now in this part of the world, but there's BTS and Blackpink and all these bands, okay, are doing insane amounts of business. So
don't put away the vest top yet,
lad. Don't put away, yes.
Okay, all right. So we're getting pushback here. Joe says, not only did the Beatles write their own songs, they were also musicians who played their own instruments. The others,
yes,
don't compare. Well, in terms of hysteria, there is maybe a comparison. And
here's one I do agree with as well.
Just looking at another one.
Bananarama. The original and best girl band.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
That's from Danny.
You're going to be listening to
all. I agree with you,
Danny.
Yeah, some would say the Sex Pistols were a manufactured band as well. A Wham was mine, says another listener. They have a laugh and wink emoji. Was convinced I'd marry George Michael. Yeah, who I think she'd share that in common with Plenty there.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. She's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So anyway, Afric, you live in hope for the.
I do, because I think it was kind of there's an innocence about it as well. And like, say for instance, we've got Westlife here, who was one of our greatest exports. I remember being on an internal flight in Vietnam, and they're playing Westlife on the planes. So all is not lost, lads.
Okay.
It's coming back. I'm telling you.
Thanks very much, Afric. Now, coming up after five, ahead of Ukrainian President Zelensky's visit to Dublin, we're going to have the latest on that peace plan for Ukraine. Plus, Katrina Redmond joins us with some festive forward planning recipes to batch cook for Christmas.